In the rain-soaked darkness of a funeral day, Lyra stands over a dead body in her backyard, the persistent drizzle slowly washing away evidence of her crime, but not her conscience. Her world shifts dramatically when Thatcher, the man she believed dead for 18 months, materializes before her like a ghost from the shadows. "Hello, darling phantom," he says, his voice carrying echoes of their shared past and the weight of their separation. Their reunion is far from tender. Thatcher responds with calculated cruelty, methodically critiquing her amateur killing technique. "Passion makes for sloppy work, darling. You're better than this." When Lyra confronts him about his disappearance, he cuts deeper. "Did you ever stop to think I didn't want to be found?" Their relationship exists in a morally gray twilight where obsession masquerades as love and trauma bonds disguise themselves as destiny. Thatcher, raised by the notorious serial killer Henry Pearson, carries his father's darkness like a genetic inheritance. Lyra, traumatized by her own violent past, finds herself drawn to this darkness rather than repelled by it. As she digs a grave for her victim, she realizes a terrible truth. While Henry planted the seed of darkness in her, it was Thatcher who cultivated her into a monster through his teachings and absence. Lyra's gothic cabin, with its taxidermy and lavender scent, becomes both sanctuary and battleground for their relationship. Letting Thatcher in feels like exposing her soul. When he discovers her fairy tale book with skin white as snow, lips red as blood, it mirrors the darkness of their own story. During their first week together, Thatcher's sanity frays as Lyra's humming and melancholy music penetrate the walls. Their dynamic shifts when she explains he was the last good thing in a room filled with so much bad on the night of her drama. As tears fall, he breaks his vow of distance. "No tears, Scarlet, not for someone who doesn't deserve them." This tenderness cracks Thatcher's walls. Touching Lyra feels like stroking ivory keys, quieting his chaotic mind. She melts into his cold touch as he admits she reminds him of all the things I can never have. Their proximity creates unbearable tension, with Thatcher torn between bloodlust and desire, wanting to sink inside of her and live there for eternity. Lyra and Thatcher's connection transcends conventional romance through blood rituals symbolizing their soul-deep bond. Their intimacy features knife play and blood drinking, a literal exchange that intoxicates them both. When tasting her blood, Thatcher calls her his favorite nightmare. In one intense scene, Thatcher commands Lyra to prove her devotion by cutting her palm during pleasure. She offers her bleeding hand without hesitation. He marks her with his initial while she later carves an L into his chest, permanent symbols of their mutual belonging. These rituals represent their acceptance of each other's darkness. When Thatcher confesses, "I don't want to be perfect if it means I have to live without you," he acknowledges their relationship exists outside conventional morality. When he jokes he doesn't have a heart, Lyra simply responds, "You can take mine." Both protagonists carry profound trauma that shapes their identities. Thatcher was raised by his serial killer father, with his grandmother May offering his only glimpse of normalcy. She taught him children are three parts of a whole, with one part belonging only to themselves. After his father's imprisonment, Thatcher began killing other killers who escaped justice, following his grandfather's code: "Thou shalt not kill, but if you must, kill those deserving of death." When confronting his imprisoned father, Thatcher reveals, "I kill men who are just like you. Every time I watch the light drain from their eyes, it's always you on the table," symbolically killing his father repeatedly through surrogates. Lyra's trauma stems from a violent incident connected to Henry Pearson. Throughout foster care, she clung to memories of Thatcher as the last good thing in a room filled with so much bad. Her trauma manifests in her obsession with Thatcher and capacity for violence, emerging when she kills Connor Godfrey but blocks the memory. Thatcher's inner circle, Alistair, Rook, and the returning Silas, forms a brotherhood forged in shared trauma. These bastard founding sons of Ponderosa Springs created their own family after rejection by their biological ones. Their bond is sealed by an oath on the River Styx to avenge May's death and protect each other. Each embodies a distinct trauma response. Alistair as the steadfast protector, Rook through his pyromania, finding both drug and cure in flames, and Silas through withdrawal and eventual return. Their loyalty shows as they help Thatcher evade authorities and burn down the Van Doren family building, both a distraction and symbolic destruction of old power. When they gather to burn Connor Godfrey's remains, the act transcends evidence disposal to become a sacred ritual binding them closer than blood ever could. Ponderosa Springs functions as a living, malevolent character. A town whose mountain vistas and charming streets mask generations of calculated evil. The founding families, Sinclairs, Blackwoods, and Pearsons, maintain power through alliances and mutual blackmail, their respectability purchased with blood money. The town's hypocrisy peaks at May Pearson's funeral, where former gossips feign grief. Thatcher, embracing his role as designated villain, serves as an uncomfortable mirror reflecting the town's true nature. When he enters the Main Street Cafe, the sudden silence reveals the town's selective memory. These same people once ignored his childhood abuse. Evil operates in Ponderosa Springs like a dark inheritance, passed through trust funds and family secrets. Even the architecture embodies this duality. Beautiful Victorian mansions built with exploitation money. Church steeples casting shadows over sites of unspeakable crimes. The town's darkness remains embedded in its foundations, deepening with time. 3 months after Connor's death, Lyra and Thatcher live together at Pearson Point. While listening to Thatcher play piano, she learns the haunting piece is a composition he created for her, the first music he wrote but never finished until now. This musical metaphor captures their relationship. Each kill gets one concerto, but hers remained incomplete because he was never meant to kill her. Their love isn't about overcoming darkness, but finding beauty within it. As he tells her, "Thank you for loving me with what remained," she promises to haunt him for the rest of their lives. This conclusion suggests redemption doesn't require becoming conventionally good, but finding someone who accepts your darkness completely. Thatcher remains a killer, but his love for Lyra gives his existence meaning beyond violence. Perhaps the truest love sees our shadows and stays, not to change us, but to walk beside us through the night. For them, blood isn't just what they crave. It's what binds them in a covenant more sacred than any conventional vow.